While the initial reasoning for the U.S. taking military action against Venezuela was illegal drug trafficking, we quickly learned what the primary goal was. Oil. Venezuela has it. Donald Trump wants it for America. Now, since oil is a finite resource, the more you have is going to wind up giving you a longer-lasting energy independence as well as a strength in the energy economy. Now, while it needs to happen next has been made to sound many ways logical, even easy, is it? If there are risks of any kind or costs which would challenge the financial logic behind this plan, then some might say, why not focus even more than we are on growing and increasing domestic production? Joining us to examine all of this is the founder and CEO of the American Energy Institute, Jason Isaac. How are you today, Jason?
I'm doing well. It's great. Thanks for having me on.
AmericanEnergyInstitute.com, the website. Learn more about this and other issues with information, education, and facts. That's what you always have to rely on. That's what Jason's organization does give. As a foundation, Jason, what is the potential, and I think that's the key word to use, potential oil that Venezuela offers right now?
Well, Venezuela offers a heavier crude oil that most of the refineries in the Gulf of America are geared to refine. So it offers shorter transportation. Right now, we import a lot of that oil from Canada. We import it from the Middle East. So having it here in our hemisphere and not being dependent on the Middle East for that oil will be less at the whims of places like Iran, where you see fluctuations in oil prices based on protests that are happening. So this is going to add more stability, lower cost of transportation to get that oil from Venezuela and certainly from the Middle East. And we continue to produce lighter sweet crude in the Permian Basin where I am and export that around the world. But our refineries were built decades ago. Unfortunately, we haven't necessarily expanded them like China has. But this takes a lot of oil out of the black market. China has been buying 8 and 10 barrels of Venezuelan oil at lower and reduced price, and at the same time, securing up leases and opportunities to produce critical minerals, rare earth elements, things like gold, silver, and other minerals that are important to manufacturing and certainly important to our national defense, national security.
I'm glad you brought up China because that's been, to a great degree, absent from the conversation. China has been firmly entrenched in Venezuela and has been a benefactor of what Venezuela has to offer, albeit a limited amount of oil versus what they are sitting on, to be sure. But nevertheless, oil is still the strength that any economy needs. Do you think that the U.S. is trying to would muscle out China, or is this a place where cooperation would have to happen for the oil industry in Venezuela to get back up to what it was back in the 80s and 90s?
Yeah, I think it is to muscle out China when it comes to those critical elements, rare earth elements, critical minerals, because China has a stranglehold on that, whether it's production, refining, and processing in China, the mining of those throughout the African continent. China has been on a buying spree. You look at the lithium mines that are in the Congo. China has control of over 75% of those mines, and the minerals are then shipped to China where they're refined and processed, made into electric vehicles, but also military defense. You've got a fighter jet that has nearly 10,000 pounds of those critical minerals and rare earth elements. It's absolutely critical that we have control and have a supply of them that is independent from China. But right now, China has some of them, 100% of the minerals have to come from China. So that's a dependency we don't like to have in America. And so I think that's what's really at play here in Venezuela. You get rid of a narco-terrorist as they really hijacked a country and was a dictator. Now you're going to put oil on the regular market. You'll return law and order and hopefully have actually contracts are respected. And I think that's what it's going to take for American businesses to return to Venezuela.
It's always great to know what you want, where it is, but it's not always easy to get to it. Is that the case that we have here? I know that Donald Trump has put out a supposing that it's going to take maybe a year and a half to get things rolling, but many energy experts and even oil companies are saying if we even go in, we're looking at 10 to 15 years before anything of merit is going to come out of this.
Yeah, I think you're right about 10 years before any massive, significant production and distribution of oil from Venezuela, because their infrastructure is so old. A lot of that infrastructure is stolen from American companies, where international courts have ruled that they are owed billions of dollars. And so we've got to get them reimbursed. But if there's one person in the administration that I trust on energy, it's the Secretary of Energy, the first Secretary of Energy that actually has experience working in the energy space, working for a company in Denver that he founded years ago, that actually knows what it means to produce oil and gas. So he's more well aware of the economy, the economics in Venezuela than I think anyone, and understands there's oil available right now in storage to sell on the market in Venezuela. You can get production where it is today between 700,000-800,000 barrels per day, up to 1.5 million barrels per day. Again, that's a drop in the bucket to the 14 million barrels approximately that we're producing per day in the United States. But again, it's that heavier crude that we need here in the U.S. So I think you're about 2 years away from getting to about 1.4 million barrels per day out of Venezuela. That money will be used to repay those companies. It'll be used for investment into Venezuela. And I think that's a big win for Venezuelans as well as consumers here in the United States.
Dr. Jason Isaac, who is the founder and CEO of the American Energy Institute, AmericanEnergyInstitute.com, the website. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas on the idea of cost. Right now, a barrel of oil is bouncing between $50 and $60. I mean, it's pretty fluid, no pun intended. But for the oil companies, from what I've been able to research, for them to go into Venezuela, it's got to be profitable. Obviously, now the getting the back pay for what they lost and everything would certainly expedite the cost. But I've seen estimates that unless the price of oil is hovering around $80 to $90 a barrel, they're better off staying in Canada, when a lot of these companies have started to increase their exploration and drilling.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I know the president has this fascination with a $50 barrel of oil figure. Really, where we are right now is already hurting some of the smaller independent producers that I represent that really make up a bulk of the industry. And the last thing we want to see is bankruptcies from these smaller independents that are going to get swallowed up by the majors. Some of these majors have really embraced some of these climate agendas that are increasing the cost of the industry and increasing the cost of energy. So it's interesting to know that they've advocated for, some of the majors have advocated for keeping some of the regulations in place that the Trump administration is moving to get rid of, which would help reduce the cost of those companies. One of my members spent $600,000 last year just in compliance for a greenhouse gas reporting program. Nothing about reducing emissions. It's all paperwork and counting. $600,000. That's numerous jobs that could have been created. That's how you reduce the cost of energy, is getting rid of needless regulations. And when you have the majors and their trade organizations embracing some of these political agendas and opposing the Trump administration from getting rid of those regulations, it's appalling to, and really a slap in the face to the smaller independent producers that are the backbone of the industry. But they're feeling a tightening right now at current prices. So you're right. I think we need to see a little bit higher cost of a barrel of oil for companies to go into Venezuela, because you do need to remain profitable. I don't think you're going to see an increase in cost at the pump. Again, you've got reduced transportation costs to bring that heavy crude oil into the Gulf, so that should be passed along. And one thing that I've encouraged the president to do is actually meet with electric utility executives, because the cost of gasoline over the last year has decreased more than 20%. That's a significant reduction. The cost of electricity continues its rise, because utilities are embracing the green new scam and then passing those costs on to ratepayers. They're wasting billions of dollars on unreliable Chinese-dependent generation rather than investing in coal, natural gas, and nuclear that's affordable and reliable.
Well, that's the thing, is looking at oil, 20th century thinking, as opposed to looking at electricity generation through coal, through nuclear power. Because if nothing else, and again referencing China, they're far and away ahead of us with data centers and the energy to keep them powered up. We're behind on that big time. We need electricity right now to catch up on that aspect of the world economy as well for technology. It'd be great to have the rare earth minerals to have that technology come forward. But if the data centers can't be powered, it becomes an incomplete jigsaw puzzle.
Yeah, and China has really incredibly grown their electric generation on the back of cheap coal. It's not beautiful and clean like it is here in the United States because we use baghouses and scrubbers for pollution control technology. It's one of the reasons we've become world leaders in clean air. We've reduced the six criteria pollutants nearly 80% over the last five decades. And during that same time, we've become number one in access to clean and safe drinking water. That's all powered by affordable and reliable energy. And China has embraced that. They're building out coal generation. And in the last year, for the first time ever, China started to export energy. They're exporting diesel fuel. They're exporting jet fuel and home heating oil, using Iranian oil, Russian oil, and Venezuelan oil that they're buying on the cheap. But it's also powered with that cheap coal. Refining, transportation, production take a lot of power, and that's driven by electricity. So I hope that the utility companies in the United States get behind this, because Americans can't afford the skyrocketing electricity bills. As much relief as we're getting at the pump, we're getting cut by those prices at the electric meter.
Yeah, just to wrap up with the demonstration of just how outrageous price of electricity is, we have an incoming Democratic governor who was saying that something has to be done about that. So that gives you a good idea, a barometer of how unbalanced and how negative high electricity prices are for consumers as well as industries, obviously. Learn more about this and other issues regarding energy, energy creation, energy status, energy needs and uses. You'll find it all at the website for the American Energy Institute, AmericanEnergyInstitute.com. He is their founder and CEO, Jason Isaac. Jason, thanks for the education for being here today.
It's great to be on. Thanks for having me.